reading. This is a detailed summary by chapter of the Mathura Leela as given to us from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. The 10th canto is subtitled Summon Bonum. Summon Bonum means the ultimate good. And since the Janma Karma, birth and activities of Krishna are delineated in the 10th canto, then most certainly Summon Bonum is a most appropriate title for the 10th canto. So these are the chapter summaries. First, the Mathura Leela. The summary of the first chapter is as follows. This chapter describes how Kamsa, frightened by hearing an omen about his being killed by the eighth son of Devaki, killed Devaki's sons one after another. When Shukadeva Goswami finished describing the dynasty of Yadu, as well as the dynasties of the moon and sun god, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to describe Lord Krishna. Krishna appeared with Baladev in the Yadu dynasty, and Maharaj Parikshit requested him to know how Krishna performed his activities within this world. Krishna is transcendental, the king said, and therefore to understand his activities is the occupation of liberated persons. The hearing of Krishna Leela is the boat by which to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Except for an animal killer or one who is following a policy of spiritual suicide, every intelligent person must strive to understand Krishna and his activities. Krishna was the only worshipable deity for the Pandavas. When Maharaja Parikshit was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Krishna saved him from the attack of the Brahma Shastra. Now Maharaja Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami how his lordship Baladev, the son of Rohini, could have appeared in the womb of Devaki. Why did Krishna transfer himself from Mathura to Vrindavan? King Parikshit asked. And how did he live there with his family members? What did Krishna do in Mathura and Vrindavan? And why did he kill his maternal uncle Kamsa? For how many years did Krishna reside in Dwaraka? And how many queens did he have? Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami all these questions. He also requested Shukadeva Goswami to describe other activities of Krishna about which he could not inquire. When Shukadeva Goswami began to speak about Krishna consciousness, Maharaja Parikshit forgot the fatigue brought about by his fasting. Enthusiastic to describe Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami said, like the waters of the Ganges, descriptions of the activities of Krishna can purify the entire universe. The speaker, the inquirer, and the audience all become purified. Once, when the entire world was overburdened by the increasing military power of demons in the form of kings, Mother Earth assumed the shape of a cow and approached Lord Brahma for relief. Sympathetic to Mother Earth's lamentation, Brahma accompanied by Lord Shiva and other demigods, took the cow-shaped Mother Earth to the shore of the Milk Ocean, where Lord Brahma offered prayers to please Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu lay there on an island in transcendental ecstasy. Brahma thereafter understood the advice of Shiro Dakashayi Vishnu, who informed him that he would appear on the surface of the earth to mitigate the burden created by the demons. The demigods, along with their wives, should appear there as associates of Lord Krishna in the family of Yadu, to increase the sons and grandsons in that dynasty. By the will of Lord Krishna, Anantadev would appear first as Balaram, and Krishna's potency Yoga Maya would also appear. Brahma informed Mother Earth about all this and then returned to his own abode. After marrying Devaki, Vasudev was returning home with her on a chariot. Driven by Kamsa, her brother, when an anonymous voice addressed Kamsa, warning him that Devaki's 8th son would kill him. Upon hearing this omen, Kamsa was immediately ready to kill Devaki, but Vasudev diplomatically began to instruct him. Vasudev stressed that it would not be good for Kamsa to kill his younger sister, especially at the time of her marriage. Anyone who possesses a material body must die, Vasudev advised him. Every living entity lives in a body for some time and then transmigrates to another body. But one is unfortunately misled into accepting the body as the soul. If a person, under this mistaken conception, wants to kill another body, he or she is condemned as hellish. But Kamsa was not satisfied by Vasudev's instructions. Therefore, Vasudev devised a plan. He offered to bring Kamsa, all of Devaki's children, so that Kamsa could kill them. Why then should Kamsa kill Devaki now? Kamsa was satisfied by this proposal. In due course of time, when Devaki gave birth to a child, Vasudev brought the new baby back to Kamsa, who, upon seeing Vasudev's magnanimity, was struck with wonder. When Vasudev gave Kamsa the child, Kamsa, showing some intelligence, said that since he was to be killed by the 8th child, why should he kill the first? Although Vasudev did not entrust him, Kamsa requested Vasudev to take the first child back. Later, however, after Narada approached Kamsa and disclosed to him that demigods were appearing in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties and were conspiring to kill him, Kamsa decided to kill all the children born in these families, and he also decided that any child born from the womb of Devaki must be killed. Thus he arrested and imprisoned both Devaki and Vasudev, and killed 6 of their sons, one after another. Narada had also informed Kamsa that in his previous birth, Kamsa was known as Kalanemi, a demon who was killed by Vishnu. Consequently, Kamsa became a great enemy to all the descendants of the Yadu Vamsha, the Yadu dynasty. He even arrested and imprisoned his own father, Ugrasena, for Kamsa wanted to enjoy the kingdom alone. So that was chapter 1. We're studying these summaries of all the chapters that deal with Mathura Leela. Now chapter 2. As described in this chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered the womb of Devaki to kill Kamsa, all the demigods understood that the Lord was living within Devaki's womb, and therefore in veneration they offered him the Garbhastuti prayers. Kamsa, under the protection of his father-in-law Jarasandha, and with the help of his demoniac friends like Pralamba, Bukka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Mushtika, Bana, and Bhamasura, began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in such states as Kuru, Panchal, Kekai, Shalva, and Vidarbha. Some of them stayed with Kamsa as nominal friends. After Kamsa killed the Shadgarbhas, or the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Anantadev entered Devaki's womb and was then transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was simply following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Because Krishna and His potency, Yogamaya, appeared simultaneously as brother and sister, the world is full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas Shaktas, according to their desires, worship Yogamaya in forms like Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladev, or Sankarshan, the seventh child of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And because Sankarshan appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladev. One may take auspicious strength from him to become a devotee of the Lord, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudev and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because the Lord was present in her heart, Devaki, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgence, Kamsa was full of anxiety, but he could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus, he began indirectly thinking of Krishna and thus became fully Krishna conscious. Meanwhile, because of the Lord's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer the Lord their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, the demigods said that the Lord is eternally the absolute truth. The demigods also prayed that the spiritual soul is more important than the gross body, and the super soul, Paramatma, is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Godhead is absolutely independent, and His incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees and explain the fate of persons who superficially consider themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. A devotee is always safe. When a devotee fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, he or she is completely liberated from the fear of material existence. By explaining why the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, the prayers of the demigods clearly confirm the Lord's statement in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanang srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Chapter 3. We are hearing the chapter summaries of the Mathura Leela. As described in this third chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is also known as Hari, in his original form, appeared as Vishnu, so that his father and mother could understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they were afraid of Kamsa, when the Lord appeared as an ordinary child, they took him to Gokula, the house of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Devaki, being fully transcendental or Satchid Ananda, does not belong to this material world. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared with four hands as if born from her womb. Upon seeing the Lord in his Vishnu form, Vasudeva was struck with wonder, and in transcendental happiness, he and Devaki mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Vasudeva then offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the Supreme Person, Parabrahman, the Supersoul, who is beyond duality and who is internally and externally all-pervading. The Lord, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence, although He is the creator of this material world. When He enters this world as Paramatma, He is all-pervading. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. Yet, He is transcendentally situated. For the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, the Lord appears as the Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Thus, Vasudeva offered prayers full of meaning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki followed her husband by offering prayers describing the transcendental nature of the Lord. Fearing Kamsa and desiring that the Lord not be understood by atheistic or materialistic non-devotees, Devaki prayed that the Lord withdraw his transcendental forearm form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. The Lord reminded Vasudeva and Devaki of the two other incarnations in which he had appeared as their son. He had appeared as Prishnigarbha and Vamanadeva, and now this was the third time he was appearing as the son of Devaki, just to fulfill their desire. The Lord then decided to leave the residence of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa, and at this very time, Yogamaya took birth as the daughter of Yashoda. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, Vasudeva was able to leave the prison house and save the child from the hands of Kamsa. When Vasudeva brought Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that by Yogamaya's arrangement, Yashoda, as well as everyone else, was deeply asleep. Thus, he exchanged the babies. Taking Yogamaya from Yashoda's lap and placing Krishna there instead. Then, Vasudeva returned to his own place, having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. He placed Yogamaya on Devaki's bed and prepared to be a prisoner as before. In Gokula, Yashoda could not understand whether she had given birth to a male or female child. Now, Chapter 4. We are studying Mathura Leela Chapter Summaries. This chapter describes how Kamsa, following the advice of his demoniac friends, considered the persecution of small children to be very diplomatic. After Vasudeva bound himself with iron shackles as before, all the doors of the prison house closed by the influence of Yogamaya, who then began crying as a newborn child. This crying awakened the doorkeepers, who immediately informed Kamsa that a child had been born to Devaki. Upon hearing this news, Kamsa appeared with great force in the maternity room, and in spite of Devaki's pleas that the child be saved, the demon forcibly snatched the child from Devaki's hands and dashed the child against a rock. Unfortunately for Kamsa, however, the newborn child slipped away from his hands, rose above his head, and appeared as the eight-armed form of Durga. Durga then told Kamsa, "The enemy you contemplate has taken birth somewhere else. Therefore, your plan to persecute all the children will prove futile." According to the prophecy, the eighth child of Devaki would kill Kamsa. And therefore, when Kamsa saw that the eighth child was a female and heard that his so-called enemy had taken birth elsewhere, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Kamsa decided to release Devaki and Vasudeva, and he admitted before them the wrongness of his atrocities. Falling at the feet of Devaki and Vasudeva, he begged their pardon and tried to convince them that because the events that had taken place were destined to happen, they should not be unhappy, They should not be unhappy for his having killed so many of their children. Devaki and Vasudev, being naturally very pious, immediately excused Kamsa for his atrocities. And Kamsa, after seeing that his sister and brother-in-law were happy, returned to his home. After the night passed, however, Kamsa called for his ministers and informed them of all that had happened. The ministers, who were all demons, advised Kamsa that because his enemy had already taken birth somewhere else, all children born within the past 10 days in the villages within Kamsa's kingdom should be killed. Although the demigods always feared Kamsa, they should not be treated leniently since they were enemies. Kamsa should try his best to uproot their existence. The demoniac ministers further advised that Kamsa and the demons continue their enmity toward Vishnu because Vishnu is the original person among all demigods. The Brahmins, cows, Vedas, austerity, truthfulness, control of the senses and mind, faithfulness and mercy are among the different parts of the body of Vishnu, who is the origin of all demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Therefore, the ministers advised the demigods, the saintly person, the cows and the Brahmins should be systematically persecuted. Strongly advised in this way by his friends, the demoniac ministers, Kamsa approved of their instructions and considered it beneficial to be envious of the Brahmins. Following Kamsa's order, therefore, the demons began committing their atrocities all over Brajabhumi. So we'll end here, and next week we will pick up from this point and we will finish the chapter summaries for Mathura Leela. Then we will also read the chapter summaries for Vrindavan Leela. And then we will read the chapter summaries for Dvaraka Leela as well. And now, the next thing we will do is we will have our class on the Govinda Leelamrita. Just give me a few seconds.